This is Marking Out. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Follow on Twitter. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Marking out. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Brennan likes this thing. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. We're marking out. Pro Wrestling Talk by Pro Wrestling Fans.
Welcome to Marking Out, Pro Wrestling Talk by Pro Wrestling Fans. This is episode 793. Hey, thanks for listening. Make sure that you are subscribed and downloading wherever you're listening to the podcast, just like on Spotify. Give us a 5-star rating to go with that 5-star frog splash. Also, buy a t-shirt at prowrestlingtees.com/markingout. Give us a like on Facebook. In addition to all of that, make sure that you're following us. Twitter, at Marking Out. TikTok, at Marking Out. Instagram, at Marking Out 11. And you can check me out, Dave the Rave, on all social media platforms at DavidPTDPT. Follow Chris at CMSweeney85 on Instagram and Chris Sweendong on Twitter. And follow Brandon at BTTG161. But that being said, Brandon, how are you?
I am doing awesome as always. How about yourself?
Doing freaking fantastic. Happy WrestleMania week. It is WrestleMania week, everybody. The Super Bowl of pro wrestling, and very excited for it. How was your week?
I didn't do anything crazy yet.
Nice.
Just like you didn't do anything crazy yet. I know you went to the movies and fell asleep.
Yes, I did. I went to the movies. I saw the Project Hail Mary, and I was going in and out of it. I caught most of the movie, but I had some moments where I was starting to doze off and fade. So, yeah. And I had a Red Bull before that because I knew I was a little bit tired.
So was it not good? And that didn't help out.
It's not that it just wasn't good, but it's just slow.
Did you get some popcorn?
What?
You didn't hear what I said?
Did I get popcorn?
Yeah, you heard me. What the hell?
No. Uh-uh.
Maybe that's why you fell asleep. You weren't occupied.
Nah. Yeah. Mm-mm. I don't know. It was just quiet. Wasn't much action. And it takes place in space. So, yeah. Prime time to take a nap. But yeah, I guess let's get on. Oh, and then this week, going to be leaving for Epic Universe, for Epic Mania. Going to be going to Universal Studios and Island of Adventure and Epic Universe with Chris and our friends.
You can see where they filmed the music video for My Sacrifice. You could see where TNA Impact used to be filmed.
Nice.
Yeah,
definitely at the top of my list, especially that video.
You'll be there regardless. You're not like not gonna. You might not recognize what you're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like being right next to the Blue Man Group Theater. You'll see Nickelodeon Studios, but like you might not recognize.
Oh, that's why you texted me the other day, isn't it?
Yeah,
I didn't click into it.
You were saying you were looking for things that were within Universal Studios that you knew. So I sent other things within Universal Studios that you would know.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah,
I think the original All That intro was filmed there too.
Yeah. It would be cool if they had some sort of a case of Nickelodeon stuff there. But
I don't know.
What
if
can
they
you do?
Yeah. Maybe the.
What?
I wonder if they dug up that time capsule. I don't know when that was a thing, but.
Yeah, I looked that up. They did already. That's been done. Already shipped out and done.
Well, the go-home show to Monday Night Raw. No, the go-home show to WrestleMania, Monday Night Raw, kicked off with the Obafemi and Brock Lesnar contract signing. You had Adam Pearce and Triple H say that. Well, not Triple H, but Adam Pearce said that. They're going to make sure that this match will happen. And they're going to have people sign it separately. Paul Heyman interrupted. Yada, yada, yada. Nobody needs to get close to Brock Lesnar. Brock came out. He signed it. I thought this was unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, Obafemi did the same exact thing where Paul Heyman also showed up, put Obafemi over big time. He said there's nothing wrong with losing to Brock Lesnar. And when he needs to rebuild his career, Paul Heyman's door is open for Obafemi. Obafemi mm-hmm. spoke back to Paul Heyman, whatever. Again, I thought two segments of this, a bit unnecessary.
Yeah, really putting like, this matchup over, though.
Yeah, I mean, you had the big brawl last week when they were supposed to do the contract signing. Two of the segments, though? I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think that I agree with you. I think that last week should have, you could have just capped it at last week. I don't know why they proceeded to do what they did. But this Monday Night Raw definitely has a lot of questionable things.
Mm.
You know? But, yeah. First matchup of the night, you had Lyra Valkyria pick up the victory over Charlotte Flair. This match, it just seemed like there was moments that they weren't on the same page at times. I don't know.
I thought Lyra looked great in this match.
And yeah, I think they Lyra had... looked great. Charlotte looked like trash at times.
Well, I don't know if I would say necessarily trash, but I think, I don't know, there was something very off about this. I think they had some good near falls, but Bayley pulled Charlotte's leg during the pin. It allowed for Lyra to flip over, get the pin off of that, and then both teams got into a shoving match afterwards. I did not like that ending at all.
Yeah, there was that other part where Charlotte Flair was going to go for
the natural selection, man. That was an awkward spot.
What the hell was that? Like, she was about to go for it, I guess, because the only reason I knew that was because commentary said, and then she starts looking to the side at Bayley, and I don't know if Bayley was supposed to get on the...
That's like, possible. I don't know. It reminded me of 2K26, but...
Yeah, it was like somebody forgot to do something during that spot, and it's just awkward.
We had an interview segment that did not actually happen with Stephanie Vaquere, the champion. Liv Morgan attacks Stephanie Vaquere. Also, Kathy Kelly took a bump down there. She was taken out. Both of them were eventually separated. This build to WrestleMania has just been brawling.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Liv Morgan dropped a music video and a song this week that I believe Michael Cole said will be her theme song at WrestleMania, so it was not a Pussycat Dolls tease.
Oh, she that's unfortunate full-on... that that's going to be her theme song.
I think the song is fine.
I think compared to her theme song? No way.
I don't know. Maybe as like a special WrestleMania entrance or something. And I feel like if like a K-pop group recorded that song, people would be like so much more on board with it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the song sucks. It reminds me of K-pop mixed with Ashley Simpson, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Earlier in the night, we had iShow Speed have a training package, a training video package. And I liked that it looked like he was actively learning in the package. It wasn't like a long video or anything. I think we've seen him do much more than what they showed in the video. Like that, there was that video with Randy Orton a few months ago where he looked mm-hmm. so much better in that video. So I think they intentionally made it look like he was greener in this video. And I feel like he's going to impress a lot of people. Like, I think people are going to go into the iShow Speed. And then he's going to be like super great in that match.
I'm not going to judge.
You saw the video a few months ago with Orton. Did you not? I feel like you did.
I don't remember.
I think it was cool to see Malik Blade and Dante Chen in this, though. I like that they're using NXT stars for, or superstars, I should say, for stuff like that. They've also had in the commercials, they've been using NXT talent. So I think that's pretty cool mm-hmm. for them.
Yeah, that was cool.
But later on, we saw the Usos in LA Knight. They spoke about that training video with iShow Speed, with the Vision. And Solo Sikoa and the MFT pulled up to Monday Night Raw. And Solo said that that the Usos are making the family look bad hanging out with LA Knight. And then LA Knight challenged three of them to a match. I mean, I see where Solo's coming from, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
We did see that problems between LA Knight and Jey Uso at one point. But they grew closer for this feud. And then we go to the match later on where we saw the Usos and LA Knight pick up the victory over the MFT. The Usos now have an Uso version of Jey's theme song. They had Down With That, the day one theme song years ago. Used it, what, once in the past 6 months? And then they've just been using Jey's theme song. They had that garbage a few weeks ago that nobody liked, except for you.
I liked it, yeah. Except for me.
So now it's just us, Us. They re-recorded the line. So I'll take it. It's a small victory. I'll take it.
Hey, I'll go with the Us.
During the match, Tama Tonga rolled up late, and Solo Sikoa questioned where he was. That allowed for LA Knight to hit the BFT on, I think it was Tonga Loa to get the victory there. It's just basically a match for the three of them to have before going up against a three-man team at WrestleMania.
Yeah, but I don't know where what's going to take place with this. It seems like the entire MFT is going to be breaking down. Like,
I think
we're going to have to see what's going to happen.
I think come Friday we might see something.
Okay.
I'll save it for SmackDown, I guess.
All right.
After that, we saw Gunther come out. And before he could say anything, Seth Rollins attacked Gunther. And Gunther retreated. Seth told him, come back down, tell him why it's personal for him. Gunther said that for years, Seth Rollins strutted around like he was the best. And he's not, because he's the best. And he's going to expose Seth Rollins. And he used the phrase that Seth Rollins can't lace his boots. And then they brawled more. More brawling.
Yeah, a lot of brawling with this one. And I thought it was good. I thought that this promo was very heated, and I thought it was good to sell the matchup, especially where they got like forehead to forehead. That was good.
I liked this segment, but the explanation there, I liked my explanation better. He's doing it to get the favor from Paul Heyman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could go with that one.
Because he mentioned that when he was World Heavyweight Champion, Seth Rollins didn't challenge him. He linked up with Paul Heyman.
Mm-hmm.
He ran.
Yeah.
Ran from the grind.
That's true. We'll see what happens. But next up, you had Kairi Sane pick up the victory over Io Sky. Now, this was a great matchup. I think that every time that they do pair up in a matchup, it's hard for them not to put on a bad match.
This match was
a lot of fun.
The setup for this, though, there's like no lies from Asuka. Where Asuka literally told, she literally said that Io went into WrestleMania last year as champion. Now she's going into WrestleMania as Rhea's sidekick and not even on the card. Do we think she's getting a last-minute addition on SmackDown? Did that already take place by the time you see this? By the time you listen to this?
That we won't know.
Kairi Sane controlled, I would say surprisingly controlled, a majority of this match.
Yeah, I think so.
Io was somewhat injured, so maybe it's not like very surprising, but I would say more so on the surprising side. And Asuka, of course, got involved multiple times. She drove Io's head into the ring post. Rhea ran out. She went for a riptide, and Jade Cargill ran out, took her out. Io took Jade Cargill out, and then Asuka got involved again, knocked Io off the top rope when she went for the over-the-moon salt. Kairi got a quick victory there and gets the a victory over Io Sky.
Yeah, I thought it was a very good match, a lot of fun. And I think that we're going to find out, like you mentioned, a lot more come SmackDown with what could happen. But next up, you had Javon Evans and Dragon Lee pick of the victory over JD McDonagh and Rusev in your main event matchup. And I thought it was good.
Yeah, it was a ladder match preview for the Intercontinental Championship overall. It was heavily focused on Javon Evans. Very heavily. And then it was Dragon Lee who got the actual victory, hit the Styles Clash on JD McDonagh. Huge pop from the crowd for that Styles Clash. Like a huge pop. That. And then Rusev attacked them afterwards. Rey Mysterio tried to make the save. He got put down. Penta ran out. Rusev stood tall, took everyone out.
That was surprising.
Mm-hmm.
Because he really did take everybody out.
But I feel like the way that they were pushing Javon in this match, maybe he becomes a young champion, one of the youngest champions in WWE history on WrestleMania.
I could see that happen. I could see that happen. But happening? Also, on the other hand...
Happening? I need you to recognize that.
Yeah. Yeah. Next up, you had the face-off between Roman Reigns and CM Punk to close out Monday Night Raw.
Something, by the way, that I didn't mention at the beginning of this, the opening video package that they aired with Roman Reigns, I thought made Roman Reigns look like a huge dork. With him saying, "Oh, this message has been approved by your tribal chief." I thought that was so cringe. And then we go into the segment. Roman Reigns said, "Acknowledge me." CM Punk came out from the crowd. I don't know. They didn't like mention it or anything, but you could almost say Shield-like-esque.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see anybody mentioning that, but like, if you're coming from the crowd while you're in a feud with Roman Reigns...
I didn't even think about that. To me, that wasn't part of mind games or anything like that.
But CM Punk said that he hates Roman because he envies him. His only dream was pro wrestling. And he envies that it was just handed to Roman Reigns. And he hates how hard Roman works for it to be good at it. And he said that he hates that he used Sika's name in vain. And he sincerely apologized to Roman Reigns and then... He said that he hates that there's more than one royal family in wrestling, and he hates that he wasn't born into a dynasty. And Roman Reigns said he hates CM Punk too, mainly because of CM Punk's relationship with the fans. And he hopes once he's gone that the fans still chant his name, unless I made that up. Both of them...
This entire thing was...
Both of them said that they're going to win the match at WrestleMania. They both sound like they wanted to say I love you and just couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
This was a very segment-heavy Monday Night Raw. I don't think that segment sold a main event. I feel like we've already been sold beforehand. This was not needed. I think this worked in reverse.
Mm-hmm.
It sounded like they don't know how to express feelings. It didn't sound like they actually hated each other. They were paying each other compliments almost.
Yeah, why are they facing each other besides every... Like, they have no animosity or anger, it seems. It was just more... They have... I don't know.
It's, I'm jealous of you, I'm jealous of you. You're good at this, but you're good at this.
Yeah,
we shall see, man.
Didn't sell me on WrestleMania for that.
So that's Monday Night Raw. Moving over to NXT Revenge. It kicked off with Kalani Jordan picking up the victory over Jada Parker. Pretty even match. Good back and forth. Jada's knee got hurt during this. So she struggled with that throughout the match. The turnbuckle pad came off at one point. And later on in the match, Jada Parker went for the hypnotic to the corner. It hit the exposed turnbuckle, and Kalani Jordan was able to hit the one-of-a-kind moonsault off of that to get the victory there. After that, we had a Joe Hendry concert, sung about Tony D'Angelo being champion and not being champion anymore. He teased going to the main roster. I thought that, like, that last line right there where he teased it, and then Kiana Carver showed up, I thought that was great. But Kiana Carver ate a guitar shot Joe got busted open. Security was taken out. Four people, including Joe Hendry, got put through that barricade. After that, we saw Callie Armstrong pick up the victory over Skylar Rae. I would have preferred for this match to have been against someone who didn't win LFG, because I feel like Skylar desperately needs to be, like, built up. Obviously, Callie Armstrong's not losing here, but Rae's been gone for months. Callie's been great. She was great in this match. I think Skylar was good in this match as well. The finish, I thought, was absolutely nuts. Skylar Rae landed, like, right on her head. That was a shoulder tackle finish, maybe a pounce or something. That was a crazy ending. I'll put a pin in that. We saw Tony D'Angelo pick up the victory over Ethan Page to retain the championship. Ricky Sane showed up during this to cheer on Ethan Page. He got almost immediately got dragged under the ring by someone we didn't know right off the bat. And then eventually it was revealed it was Shiloh Hill. He tied Ricky Saints up, dragged him to the back. Throughout the night, by the way, he had been working on something with tools. Ricky Saints even yelled at him after this. But it turned out he was working on a casket for a casket match between Tatum Paxley and Blake Monroe next week. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. But Ethan Page promised the first title shot to Ricky Saints. That's why he showed up to, try to guarantee that. And Shiloh Hill wasn't having that. Ethan Page ended up hitting Ego's Edge on the title after Ethan Page got the championship involved. And I swear to God, I thought that was about to be the end of the match. I didn't want to see that be the end of the match, but that was a very close two count there. He went for the twisted grin on the commentary table. Tony D'Angelo drove him off the table into the barricade, put him back onto the table, went to the barricade, hit a spear, didn't put him through the table, and then he got him back in the ring, hit dead to rights, gets the victory there, retains the championship. Miles Bourne came out and addressed Dark State. They showed up. Dion Lennox wants the title shot. Miles Bourne said that he's keeping the title regardless, but they could either slide in and beat him down, or maybe Dion Lennox doesn't get a title shot. He also referred to Dion Lennox as the leader, which Saquon Sugars was not having. He said that Dion Lennox isn't the leader there, and he basically wasn't listening to what Lennox was saying, I want this title shot, I want it for the group. Sugars ran in there, got dropped. And then they argued backstage afterwards. So maybe Dark State will be done soon. Maybe they won't. We don't know. You saw EK Prosper pick up victory over Dorian Van Dukes to advance in the speed tournament. Dukes was Van Dukes. I can't remember the pronunciation. Only my second time seeing him. But he came out to like no reaction. And literally within maybe 30 seconds, the crowd was going nuts for him. And with the way this match went, you could have assumed Dux was advancing this, but I think given that this was his first time being on NXT TV, no. But he missed the Shooting Star Press. Prosper hit a moonsault. 7 seconds left on the clock, gets that victory. This was well done. What they did in the 3 minutes here, very good use of their time here. Main event saw Lola Vice pick up the victory over JC Jane to retain the championship. Stephanie Vaquer was there earlier to wish Lola Vice luck, so that was a nice surprise. This was a good main event. Fatal Influence got involved. That one spot with Fallon Henley was unfortunate, but Lola Vice kicked out of the Rolling Encore. Lola locked JC in a submission she kept getting out of. Lainey then clocked Lola Vice, but she ended up not falling over. She hit the spinning back fist, and she got the victory there. And then Callie Armstrong showed up. She took Fatal Influence out. Kendall Gray showed up. She had a great video package on NXT. Izzy Dame and the Culling showed up. Then Zarya showed up. And out of nowhere, Sol Ruka attacked her, and they brawled. That pushes NXT Revenge Week 2. Very much so looking forward to that. So
I thought this was a very good episode of NXT. Moving over to SmackDown, it opened up with Randy Orton. And he said that he doesn't need Pat McAfee, but he wants Pat McAfee because he's the only person in WWE who's a straight shooter, tells him what he needs to hear. He moved on to talking about Cody and his friendship and how Cody only took from him. He spoke about how every moment Cody didn't call him for help. And when he did help, he got hurt. So I like that promo from Randy Orton. Not a heel promo. But I'll put a pin in that. We saw the MFT pick up the victory over the Wyatt Six in a street fight. This was, I think, exactly what you could have expected from this. Just absolute pure chaos. Tongaloa got involved. Nikki Cross got involved. This was also a very commercial-heavy match. But I think both teams spent a good amount of time in control here. Tama Tonga went to hit Cutthroat to end the match on Uncle Howdy. But Solo Sikoa ends up hitting a Samoan Spike, gets the victory, kind of stealing that win from him. And then Solo hyped up Tala Tonga to maybe be the winner of the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. So I'll put a pin in that. We saw a police car pull up. Jacob Fatu got out. He cut a promo on top of it. And he said what Drew McIntyre did last week didn't embarrass him. He's not that guy anymore. He's beyond that. He's changed his life around. The police know that. And at WrestleMania, Drew McIntyre won't have anyone in that unsanctioned match to help him out. It should be interesting to see how that goes. We saw the Judgment Day pick up the victory over New G'day to retain the tag team championships. Grayson Waller and Kofi Kingston controlled a lot more of this match than I thought they were going to. R-Truth's shoe flew off at one point, I think during commercial break, so he was literally wrestling with one shoe on. But Grayson Waller tagged himself in. R-Truth pushed Kofi Kingston into the corner to crotch him. And then R-Truth eventually starts a New Day. I think he was doing a New Day Rocks chant, but the crowd was going, New Day sucks. Try to do a hot tag. Kind of, Kofi swats his arm away. Gets in there, does a hot tag spot. It leads to a double five-knuckle shuffle spot. It leads to a modified shatter machine, I guess, or flatliner, whatever you want to say, to win the match. You had Jade Cargill come out. Immediately interrupted by Rhea Ripley. And she said that she doesn't want to give Jade any excuses to not go into WrestleMania to face her. So that's why they're not going to fight. And B-Fab said that Rhea Ripley keeps coming for Jade. She keeps failing. And Rhea Ripley said all Jade does is hide behind B-Fab and Mia Yim. B-Fab and Mia Yim left the ring so they could talk one-on-one. Jade said that she wishes... That Rhea Ripley wishes she could be her. They had an intense stare down. Jade left. I thought that was a good segment. You had Tiffany Stratton pick up the victory over Jordynne Grace to become number one contender to the U.S. Championship. This also seemed like a lot of commercials. But I thought they had a good match. I liked the pin reversals from Tiffany Stratton. I liked the new moves that we saw from Jordynne Grace. And ultimately, I was surprised to see Tiffany Stratton walk out as the winner here. I thought now that Jordynne Grace was back from injury that she would have been the one to become number one contender, but that wasn't the case. After that, we had Trick Williams come out, and he was, I think, maybe one of the most over people on SmackDown. But Trick said that Sammy crossed the line last week by attacking Lil Yachty, and he said that Sammy hurt his WrestleMania entrance. He doesn't know when Lil Yachty's going to be back. And he called Sammy out. Sammy's music hit. It was somebody dressed as the Gingerbread Man, and I wasn't expecting that. That really, it caught me off guard. It popped the heck out of me. I had a feeling that it was actually Sami Zayn under the costume. But Sammy showed up. He brought up how this is Trick's first WrestleMania. He's not taking it serious. And Sammy said that he's not having fun, and it sounds like the fans aren't having fun either. And Sammy said that it doesn't matter to him
because he's there for the ride or dies. He's there for the day one fans. He also said when he looks at Trick, all he sees is a punk rookie. And he'll walk into the biggest match of his life with no plan. Trick said Sammy lost himself. This came to blows. Sammy knocked Trick out. And Sammy took the gingerbread out, the gingerbread man out, turned into a trick shot. I think for WrestleMania, I think this is going to be a career-making match for Trick Williams. After that, Charlexa versus Bayley and Lyra Valkyria didn't happen. The match started before the bell. And then almost, not instantly, but pretty quickly, Nia Jax and Lash Legend showed up. They took both teams out, and that led to the end. The main event saw Royce Keyes win the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. I think you had to have that as the outcome. Psycho Clown was in this. La Parca, Joe Hendry, Shiloh Hill. They were all surprises. Kit Wilson was the first one out. He tripped over Johnny Gargano and got eliminated. I thought that was a great spot. Both Americanos brawled in this, but they were taken out by Tala Tonga. Alpha Academy got a pretty decent pop here. And it came down to Otis, Tala Tonga, Royce Keyes, and Aleister Black. The fans were behind Otis. Royce Keyes took Aleister Black out. Tala Tonga took Otis out. And then Royce Keyes took Tala Tonga out. Honestly, if Royce Keyes wasn't in this match, I would have had Matt Cardona go over here. So, hopefully this launches Royce Keyes more than the other winners of the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Not to say Melo's wasn't anything. Not to say anyone else's win wasn't anything. But hopefully this gets him to a very big push. To close SmackDown, we had Cody Rhodes in all black. Probably, not probably, but maybe it could be a sign of the times. Who knows? It's probably for the Hall of Fame. Gave me flashbacks to AEW. He mentioned The Rock. He mentioned Travis Scott. He also said someone he will not name this year meddling in his WrestleMania matches. Obviously talking about Pat McAfee. He said he's not buying into all that. It's just the business. It's how it goes. He moved on to talking about Randy Orton. He spoke about how Randy Orton said all Cody does is take. Meanwhile, Randy Orton doesn't take responsibility. He spoke more about Randy Orton. And then CM Punk's music hit for a split second. I had no idea what the hell that was. It scared the heck out of me. Cody asked him if he's going to turn on him too. The fans wanted that. Punk said no. And I thought they had a really good back and forth there. It was like a nice calm before the storm segment. I don't know what Monday is going to look like. It seemed like that could lead to something like gigantic is going to happen. I think that was a very good segment to go home to WrestleMania to. And with that, I'm going to move on to predictions for WrestleMania. Should we actually mention the Hall of Fame first? That would make more sense.
Yeah, we can mention the Hall of Fame first, which is headlined by Stephanie McMahon. Very worthy of all of these. Very worthy. You have Stephanie McMahon, AJ Styles, Demolition, Dennis Rodman. Then in the Legacy Ring, you have Sid, Bad News Brown, and then the immortal moment's going to be Hulk Hogan versus Andre at WrestleMania 3. So, I think that this class is all deserving.
Yeah. Not looking forward to the 12 a.m. post-SmackDown. Finished editing, getting the episode up, posting socials, signing into ESPN Plus, or whatever it's called, and getting to watch the Hall of Fame at the ripe age of, or not the ripe age, the right time of 12 a.m. I hope to God it's not in any West Coast city next year. I know it's supposed to be in Saudi Arabia. We don't know if it's happening in Saudi Arabia next year. Mm-hmm. I really hope not, but I hope that it's not taking place in a West Coast town. Saudi Arabia, we get an early Hall of Fame, so.
Yeah.
If at all. But WrestleMania taking place April 18th and 19th at Allegiant Stadium in Nevada, Las Vegas, the area. Night one.
Yeah.
We already know The Vision and I Show Speed versus The Usos and LA Knight will be aired on ESPN2.
Yeah,
I'm going to say The Vision and I Show Speed here. Is that stupid?
I agree.
To say?
I think The Vision. No, I'm going to go with The Vision. And
I mean,
I think
they're the tag team.
I would like
champions.
To see LA Knight turn.
Also,
huh?
I said they're the tag team champions, and also they just. The Usos just got that win on Raw against the MFT, so.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that would be interesting if LA Knight ends up joining the Vision.
Yeah, I think that it would be interesting. And I think that LA Knight, with his crowd reaction and stuff, I think that he could still be a champion and have the crowd support him too at the same time. But next up, let's go over to the unsanctioned matchup. Jacob Fatu taking on Drew McIntyre.
I'm going to say Jacob Fatu.
I feel like Jacob Fatu as well. I don't think that Drew needs to win this, which I guess is a far cry where we were with Drew McIntyre. I don't think he needs to win. I would go with Fatu.
I am super torn on the Women's World Championship match. Stephanie Vaquer defending the championship against Liv Morgan. The Royal Rumble winner, Liv Morgan.
Stephanie Vaquer,
they just announced they're going to Chile.
Yeah, I'm going with Stephanie Vaquer.
I think Stephanie Vaquer
actually,
I'm going to say Stephanie Vaquer.
When are they going to Chile?
I mean, pretty soon. I think it's in July or something, or June.
Hmm. Because it could be Liv Morgan, and then the rematch take place in Chile.
That's what, no, it's their live event. They're not anything. I mean, it could be a title match there, but I don't think.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I want to see Vaquer still come out as, she doesn't have to, but I want to see Vaquer win.
Yeah.
Next up, IC title on the line for the women's AJ Lee defending against Becky Lynch. I'm going Becky.
Yep, Becky Lynch.
Yeah.
Fatal four-way
tag team matchup. WWE Women's Tag Team Championship on the line. The Irresistible Forces taking on Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss, Bayley and Lyra Valkyria, and maybe the Bella Twins? Maybe?
I'm going to say Bayley and Lyra Valkyria.
That's what I want to see. I want to see Bayley and Lyra.
Bayley was attacked last year.
I feel like it's
going to
be Charlotte and Alexa.
Bayley was attacked last year. She got taken off WrestleMania. Lyra Valkyria went on to win the tag team championships with Becky Lynch, who then turned on her. I think it would be a nice moment for Bayley. I think Charlexa is coming to an end soon.
So.
If anyone's going to lose that match, I think it's going to be Charlexa.
I'll go Bayley and Lyra.
How many changes do you get in this pick?
Well, I didn't really pick.
I think you said I'm picking Charlotte and Alexa.
Nah, I said Bayley and Lyra.
Singles
too.
Match, Gunther versus Seth Rollins. This is tough.
I'm going to go with Gunther. It sets up for Gunther versus Lesnar.
I don't think that sets up for that at all. How does that set that up?
Because Gunther takes out Rollins for Paul Heyman.
That part's already set up.
Yeah.
So I don't think Gunther winning this sets up Brock versus Gunther.
Why not?
Because that's already set up.
But if he doesn't defeat him, then did he really take him out?
Gunther doesn't have to take out Seth Rollins.
I don't know. I'm going Gunther. Sticking to it.
What
are you picking?
I don't know.
Pressure's
very
on
torn.
You. Avoided that air.
If Gunther wins, then maybe it's Braun Breaker who causes the victory there.
It's possible.
And Paul Heyman's like, well, now you don't. Now I don't owe you. And Gunther's like, get to the chopper. I'm going to say Gunther.
Oh, there you go.
WWE Undisputed Championship on the line. Pat McAfee, if Orton loses, never to be heard from again in the pro wrestling business. Chasing number 15, Cody Rhodes, the champion, defending the title against Randy Orton, 20 years in the making. I don't necessarily think this is going to happen. I'm going to say Randy Orton.
I am going to go with Randy Orton as well. I think it would be nice to see him get the win.
Night 2, WrestleMania taking place the first hour on ESPN. Obafemi versus Brock Lesnar. Some people say the main event.
Yeah, it's in reverse order. I'm going Oba.
This is very, very difficult to pick. I mean, even more so on Monday Night Raw with the way it ended, where Paul Heyman said, oh, my door is always open. And he very much so hyped up, like, oh, you're going to lose. Like, there's no shame in it. If there's no shame in it, then Brock shouldn't have a problem losing, right? So I'm going to say Obafemi.
Obafemi. I agree.
Why did you whisper that? That was gross.
I didn't.
Intercontinental Championship ladder match, six-pack challenge. We got Penta defending the championship against Javon Evans, JD McDonagh, Dragon Lee, Rey Mysterio, and Rusev. I said it before, I would like to see Javon Evans take this. I think that'd be awesome. I'd be fine with anybody actually winning this, though.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Penta retaining.
Perhaps Vikingo gets involved?
Maybe.
WWE Women's Championship on the line. Jade Cargill defending the championship against Rhea Ripley. I thought many, many months ago that Jade Cargill would be the one that needs to retain the championship. Now I just don't care about Jade Cargill.
Yeah, I think that Rhea Ripley's going to win.
I'm going to say Jade Cargill, though.
Okay. All right. U.S. Championship on the line, Sami Zayn versus Trick Williams. I'm going Trick Williams.
How could you not pick Trick Williams here?
Yeah. Going Trick. Singles matchup, the Demon, Finn Balor. Taking on Dominic. You got to go with the Demon, no?
Yeah, I feel like this is his downward spiral here for Dominic Mysterio. I think we then move on to Triple Mania, I assume, for Dominic to lose the Mega Championship to El Grande Americano.
Mm-hmm.
I think this completely starts the downfall here, so I'm going to say Finn Balor as well.
Yeah. Main event of the evening, World Heavyweight Championship on the line. CM Punk taking on Roman Reigns. I'm going to say CM Punk.
I would like to see that as well. Do you have both Royal Rumble winners lose?
Yeah, why not?
I don't know. I feel like, is that a thing that's been done? Has that ever happened?
I mean,
I don't know.
Can be a first. Do it. Make it happen.
So that is WrestleMania. Our prediction's going to take a quick little break, and I'll be right back here on Marking Out.
Here's Matt to Enigma Jeff Hardy. On this team too, Marking Out.
Welcome back to Marking Out, episode 793. Moving over to one of the hottest episodes of AAA since WWE took over. It opened with the coronation of Flammer. Liedra, Lady Maravilla introduced Flammer. They aired a video package covering her reign. It had celebrities, former champions, JBL congratulating her on this record-breaking reign, the Reina de Reinas championship. And then Flammer said that the fans don't deserve her. She said she doesn't recognize anybody in the video, which popped me. I thought that was one of the funniest things that they possibly could have added to that segment. And then she thanked all the women that she beat, and the lights go out. A video played of a woman driving in the car. It was La Catalina. It was a huge freaking pop there. Like, huge. And then she sarcastically congratulated Flammer. She attacked Las Toxicas. So now we know who will be most likely taking that Reina de Reinas championship from Flammer. You had El Grande Americano Original pick up the victory over Octagon Jr. Huge boos for Americano. Also, they dropped Jr. from Octagon's name for some reason. I don't know why. But Americano locked Octagon Jr. in an ankle lock. Got Octagon in a headlock at the same time. And then removed his mask and made him tap out. Typically, that would be a disqualification in Mexico. I guess it was the referee's discretion. And it didn't seem like the fans cared that it wasn't a DQ. Rey Mysterio questioned if it was a no DQ match, but that's it. There was controversy online, but overall, it didn't seem like people were bothered by it not being a DQ. Normal people. They interviewed some celebrities afterwards, and Americano attacked Ojito de Huevo. I believe he's a blind comedian. He dragged him over the barricade, locked him in an ankle lock. Kudos to him for taking that. And then Andrea Bazarte, the interviewer, slapped El Grande Americano Original to stop him. And he turned all his focus onto her. El Grande Americano showed up to a huge pop to make the save. And then they brawled. And I'll put a pin in that. But I thought that was fantastic. You had Penta in the main event pick up the victory over Vikingo to retain the Intercontinental Championship. This crowd, man, was on absolute fire this whole show. This match they were on fire for. Vikingo jumped onto Penta off the commentary table. Penta, it seemed like he hurt his knee. And Vikingo worked on that throughout the match. He did a stump puller at one point and bit Penta's foot, which is like one of the grossest things I've ever... Not, I shouldn't say one of the grossest because... Ugh, I just thought of the Jeff Hardy and Randy Orton gimmick for a second. But it was gross in the fact that he was putting his boot in his mouth. But this match I thought was awesome. Vikingo did a Poison Rana on the apron, and then he hit a running shooting star press off the apron. Both Americanos end up brawling out during this match. That distracted Vikingo. Penta was able to dive out onto him. Hit the Penta driver, and Vikingo surprisingly kicked out there. And then Dorian Roldan got involved. The referee kicked him from ringside. I thought for sure Omos was showing up here at some point. That never happened. And Vikingo grabbed the title. Mini Vikingo showed up. He ends up hitting Vikingo with the title. That was awesome. That I should have expected that. I did not expect that for whatever reason. And then Penta hit a springboard destroyer, got the victory there. It closed with both Americanos brawling. And then El Grande Americano challenged Original to a mask versus mask match. Man, that's going to be on fire. That's going to be absolutely on fire. Moving to TNA Rebellion, which I did not see, but I will do a quick rundown of it. Ryan Nemeth picked up the victory over BDE. Leon Slater retained the championship against Cedric Alexander. You had Frankie Kazarian pick up the victory over Elijah to retain. Agent Zero picked up the victory over Moose. Alicia Edwards turned on Moose, as I suspected from the start. I did not trust her. I didn't trust that she wasn't still with the system there. You had the Elegance brand pick up the victory over Mickey James, Taryn Terrell, and ODB. And then afterwards, it was announced that ODB will be inducted to the TNA Hall of Fame. So that's awesome for her. I think she's very, very much so deserving of that. Nick Nemeth picked up the victory over AJ Francis. Bernie Kosar from the Bengals had one of the worst chair shots I've ever seen in pro wrestling. Not as bad as that Hogan one that was like, that everybody knows. But this was not a good one. You could tell clearly he's not a worker. But Casey Navarro returned afterwards. You had Ariana Grace pick up the victory over Lei Ying Li to retain the championship. Zaya Brookside turned on Lei Ying Li. Perhaps there's birthright in her future.
Yet Mustafa Ali picked up the victory over Trey Miguel to become the new international champion. The System picked up the victory over the Hardy Boys to become the new tag team champions. And then in the main event, Mike Santana picked up the victory over Eddie Edwards to retain. This was Eddie Edwards' Feast or Fired match, so new champion off of that. But then moving to Impact, Casey Navarro picked up the victory over AJ Francis. Nick Nemeth did commentary. Francis controlled most of this match, and I feel like Casey Navarro was maybe moving a bit slower, but he was still doing crazy things. He did an angle slam from the middle rope. AJ Francis caught him midair with a spear, and then Nick Nemeth distracted him, and when he picked him up for a choke slam, Navarro rolled that up, got the victory off of that, and then later on, Ryan Nemeth questioned why Nick was helping him. And the System showed up. They made fun of them. I don't know if that's going to be like setting up Nemeth versus Bronson at Creative Pro, or if that's going to actually be set up for Impact or what, but we shall see. You had the System come out. Eddie Edwards, they all spoke, but Eddie Edwards said that he lost the Rebellion because of Moose. Alicia said that they played Moose like a fool. Cedric yelled about Leon Slater and said that he's owed another championship match there. And then Slater came out and said that he's on the verge of becoming the longest reigning X Division champion. Eddie Edwards said that he won't get the job done. And then Moose came out, made fun of the System. Leon Slater challenged Cedric Alexander and Eddie Edwards to a match. Daria Ray came out and said no. And then she got pissed off and she made it against the whole group. So I'll put a pin in that. Mustafa Ali came out with Order 4. He got a promo about everyone in TNA getting second chances and said that he doesn't need second chances. And then he announced that he's going to be defending the International Championship in an open challenge. Anyone on the roster, any independent wrestlers. I would like to see some wrestlers from AAA step up. I don't know if that'll be a thing or not, but it should be interesting to see who actually does answer those challenges. And then Mustafa Ali also called Jada Stone a thorn in their side. And that led into the match. Jada Stone picked up the victory over Tasha Steelz. This got started right away. They had some really good back and forth. That German suplex spot was a bit messy. But I liked that it was a counter to the back handspring from Jada Stone. Order 4 at one point surrounded her outside the ring. The referee kicked them from ringside. Stone did hit that spark stunner, got the victory off of that. Mike Santana came out, called Rich Swann out after putting him over and talking about giving opportunities for championships. They went back and forth. Mike Santana called for Daria Ray to make the match for next week, so I assume we're going to see that as a title match next week. I don't know, though. Yet EC3 versus Eric Young end in a no contest. EC3 returned at Rebellion. I think it's awesome to see him back. I don't know why people like hate EC3. I was always a fan of him. But Young attacked EC3 during his entrance. The referee got knocked down by mistake at one point. A bunch of other referees ran out, called the match off. They continued to brawl. And then Eric Young wrapped a chair around EC3's neck and security tried to break it up. EC3 went flying into the steps. That part was a bit awkward right before the chair spot. I don't know what was going on there, but I don't know. And I can't even fathom a guess as to what's going to happen next there between EC3 and Eric Young. But we go to the Undead Realm after that. Joseph Park was on this week. I popped big time for that. Tessa ended up attacking Rosemary, chaining her up. Father James Mitchell ends up helping them leave. The lights went out. Tessa, Mila, and Victoria Crawford appeared by the ring. Rosemary and Mara Sade showed up. They got the upper hand on Rosemary there. And then the lights went out again and Allie showed up. And she took Tessa out, she took Mila out, she took Victoria Crawford out. Backstage, the Hardy Boys, Matt Hardy cut a promo on the Righteous, challenged Dutch to a match for next week. He said that it's almost broken season. Jeff Hardy snapped his fingers like the Righteous, and then the screen cuts. Willow laughed. So I think the Righteous are screwed. The main event saw the System pick up the victory over Moose and Leon Slater. This was just chaos, all a bunch of chaos. Brian Myers at one point speared Bear Bronson by mistake. Slater took all of them out, but it's just so much chaos. Literally every part of this match was chaotic. And I was very surprised to see Cedric Alexander hit that lumbar check, get the victory, because I would have sworn that the System was going to be the one losing. Given that it was a handicap match there, I thought, oh, they'll get one up on the System. Now I have to assume we'll see Cedric Alexander get another title shot for Leon Slater. You have to. I mean, he pinned the champion. So that is TNA Impact. Hey, Brennan. Got any shout-outs?
Hey there, pal. It's me, Mickey Mouse, and you're listening to Brennan's Shoutouts.
Malcolm in the Middle, Life Still Unfair, gets the first shout-out. Do you plan on watching this? You don't even... Well, actually, you do have Hulu and Disney+.
Yeah, but I won't watch it.
Were you a fan of Malcolm in the Middle?
No, never. Really? I mean, I've seen episodes, but and they were funny clips that I've seen, but never really grabbed me or anything like that.
Well, it's a four-part miniseries. Like I said, it's on Hulu. It's set 20 years later, and Malcolm's been avoiding the family only to get sucked back in for Lois and Hal's 40th anniversary party. Everyone reprises their roles on that show except for Dewey and Jamie. Obviously, Jamie was a little baby at that time. So they were different actors. And Dewey, I think they said he's in school or something. But they both got recast, and I think it works. And I thought they knocked it out of the park with this reunion of sorts. It wasn't a reboot or anything. And I think if you're a fan of the original series, like I said, I think it would be fun for you to watch. It was a very, very quick watch. I wish there was more. They shorten the intro, so there's no, like, opening video anymore, so there's no pro wrestling, if anybody was wondering that.
Boo.
So, I would highly recommend it. I think it was well done on their part. My next shout-out goes to Hacks, which is back on HBO for its final season. I can't say how much I've enjoyed the show. I've thought it was one of the best shows in recent history. The whole season's going to be out before June. If you've never seen it before, I highly, 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 highly recommend watching it. I think Jean Smart is awesome. She plays the character absolutely brilliantly. Hannah Einbinder is great. Paul W. Downs. Megan Stalter is great. Christopher McDonald. I am really going to miss this show. Now that it's going to finally be over, I feel like you should binge it. Or did you watch this? Didn't you watch one episode or something?
I don't recall.
I feel like you might have watched an episode. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't remember.
It's really, truly such a good show. So I highly recommend that. My last shout out goes to Big Mistakes. Have you heard anything about this program?
Yes, it's on my watch list.
New show out on Netflix from Daniel Levy and Rachel Sennett, who she's not in it, but Levy stars in it. As an openly gay pastor who ends up being blackmailed. Laurie Metcalf plays his mom. His character and his character's sister both end up involved in the blackmail. This was something I literally watched in a day. It's a quick watch. Very, very quick watch. And there's nothing announced about a season two, but it certainly sets up a second season. And I thought this was a really good season. There's comedy, there's drama, there's mob ties or whatever it is. So if you're into any of that, I would highly recommend it. I think Daniel Levy's a fantastic character, actor, not character actor, but actor.
Yeah, I'll have to watch it. It does seem really funny.
So those are my shout outs. Now it's time for our That is right, our mark out moment of the week. I gotta say, definitely Abyss last week and at Rebellion being on both of those shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that
unexpected, was cool to awesome.
See Abyss.
Yeah.
You know,
you have markout moments?
Nothing comes to mind. Nothing comes to mind.
Tops put out a brand new series of cards.
It's already ruined.
Alternate, what?
It's already ruined.
Alternate personas. Initially marked out because the autographs that they showed off included K-Quick. I think that's awesome. I would absolutely like to have a K-Quick autograph. I was a big mark for K-Quick. The set also included a Bo Dallas, a Camacho, the Ringmaster. How rare. When is the last time you saw a Ringmaster? I think I've seen one in my lifetime from Stone Cold. The Prototype, nobody's seen that yet. Terror Rising, nobody's seen that yet. Mean Mark Callis ruined the goddamn set. How do you have a set based on alternate personas and have him sign a Mean Mark Callis sign as the in a Mean Mark Callis autograph as the Undertaker? It's not like this was a sticker or anything. He actually sat there and signed the Undertaker.
I'm glad he did.
That's a huge letdown. Stone Cold signed the Ringmaster. What do you mean?
Shawn Michaels isn't accurate, though, either.
Shawn Michaels, that's not part of this set. Shawn Michaels, there was another set where he signed the Showstopper Shawn Michaels HBK on a Rockers autograph, and I went and Googled a bunch of those Rockers autographs that he's signing these days, all include the Showstopper Shawn Michaels HBK, didn't become the Showstopper or HBK until way after the Rockers broke up. Garbage. Who's regulating these things?
There is no regulation in this at all. There's no regulation in this at all. One more time, there's no regulation in this at all, and it pisses me off so much because there needs to be some sort of a regulation with these
also, though, but no. But just in general, though, maybe it's one of those things where Undertaker absolutely refuses to sign Mean Mark Callis or something. I would love to know the story behind that.
Because and I definitely think that he
there's action
figures.
I
don't think that he should.
Mattel made Mean Mark. And when you go look up those autographs, they're not Mean Mark autographs. They're the Undertaker. Are there people
asking,
hey, can you sign as the Undertaker? Or, hey, can you sign? Does he refuse Mean Mark? I don't know. I would like to know that. And then you look up.
This is the guy that took so long to do anything outside of his gimmick, The Undertaker.
I mean, just for the fact that we got Mean Mark as a Mattel figure, I feel like you should have like openly accepted and signed Mean Mark Callaway. Not Callaway, Callis.
I'm happy that he didn't. And
I don't see why.
I think that I'm happy he didn't because I want him to remain as only The Undertaker.
It's not, though. It's a different character.
But he's not that character.
You get Kevin Nash. Kevin Nash is going to happily sign every character gimmick for you.
Nah. I would say don't do it.
That makes no sense.
But also,
How could you literally say don't do it and then you get pissed off when you see stuff that's signed incorrectly? That makes no sense.
Well, I don't think that it's a card that really should. I'm not a mark for the card. It's cool, but I don't. It's not something that I would want in my collection.
I am very
curious. If it was signed properly, I wouldn't want it.
I'm very curious to see that Terror Rising card.
I hope he signed it Triple H, but
I think
to piss you off.
I think that Triple H will 100% sign it as Terror Rising. I think he would see that set, get a kick out of it, and be like, huh. Terror Rising and sign it.
I will say, I think that there does need to be regulation with the autographs, though. Like you said, if it is me, Mark Calloway, whoever's like having them sign it should sign it. Me, Mark Calloway.
So again, like, how could you be sitting? You're contradicting yourself here.
You're 100%
yes or
correct.
No here. There's no yes, he shouldn't sign it.
You're 100% correct, but for me, I don't want it. For me, as a fan, I don't want it, but you are 100% correct. But this also goes with the same thing with autographs in general. Hold on, because people have no regulation in these crappy autographs. You have Hacksaw Jim Duggan and so many more signing autographs on these stupid stickers that they put on the Topps cards and whatever cards out there now. And they sign it, and half of their autograph, three-fourths of their autograph, whatever it is, their 100% of their autograph isn't on that tape. Crappy tape. Sign it on the card. And it's just—it's so stupid. I hate it. I hate it. It's stupid. I hate that this is the direction of card collection, that autographs are now on a piece of tape that gets put onto the card, where they just give them a sheet of hundreds of stickers to sign, and then they just take out the sticker, put it on the card. It is stupid. It is awful.
The autographs that I was speaking of are not on the tape, by the way. So those are on card.
Yeah.
And
there needs to be regulation.
Also, I could swear Topps said they're not doing tape anymore. Stickers.
I don't know.
Not the case.
I see too much tape in general, and it's stupid. It's awful.
I will say, as another markout moment, La Catalina showing up from CMLL to AAA. And then they announced her for WWE World that same night. I think like 20 minutes later, they announced her for WWE World. I think that's awesome that she's in WWE. All her posts about it have been awesome. So I'm excited to see more from her. I'll speak about that more, I guess. Well, I don't know, actually. I don't know if there's going to be more next week.
I'll add El Grande El Americano, that battle. I did mark for that pop.
That was bigger than anything WrestleMania, I think.
Yeah, that set up to the entire sound.
As crazy as
that is. Mask versus mask.
Yeah, that's set up for their May event.
Yeah. And so Pete Rosenberg.
A lot of people. It's not just Pete Rosenberg.
I'm going to call out Pete then.
A lot of people, though. A lot of people think it. It's happening at Noche de los Grandes, May 30th, Arena Monterrey, and everyone wants it to take place at WrestleMania. That crowd, the crowd on that episode of AAA, you're not getting that at WrestleMania.
Agreed.
You're just not. Also, another markout moment, I will say, The Miz appeared on American Idol this week. He said he wanted to host Idol, and Ryan Seacrest told him, or a question, what do you know about hosting? And Miz was like, WrestleMania, Miz TV, American Gladiators, which is coming out Amazon Prime this week. If you maybe already saw it, I don't know. And then Ryan told him to go take a seat, so Miz put him in an airplane spin and then a headlock, and Seacrest was the one that promoted WrestleMania. They're all part of the big family, ABC, Disney, ESPN. WWE didn't put it on their website. They didn't retweet it. I don't know. How do you not repost something like that? Miz is on American Idol. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductions nominees were announced that night at American Idol.
And Iron WWE's Maiden.
Not posting an article about it? How is that a thing?
Man, put it over, dude.
That's crazy that they didn't mention that at all.
Yeah, I know.
Also, and then The Miz showed up.
Maybe you're right. 100%. Undertaker should have signed it. Me, Mark Calloway. But there needs to be regulation.
Now there's. Yeah, 100%.
There needs to be regulation.
Have any markout moments? Did you mark out Iron Maiden's getting inducted to the, I almost said WWE Hall of Fame, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Very happy that Iron Maiden is inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and they've spoken out about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and
so did Oasis. They're 100% getting in too, and then Oasis, they turn it around, and it's like, we're so happy to be inducted.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what Iron Maiden does about that, but yeah, I agree with them.
I feel like Iron Maiden will show up. I think all of them will show up. The only person who had the balls to talk crap about the Hall of Fame and then show up to the Hall of Fame and still continue to talk crap about the Hall of Fame was Steve Miller.
That's funny. What did he say?
I don't remember. I was there live, and he 100% did it, so... But Phil Collins is in this class. I think that's awesome that he's finally getting inducted as a solo artist. He's already in with Genesis.
Billy Idol?
Yeah, Billy Idol. A lot of people are like, he doesn't deserve it, blah, blah, blah. I think he's partly responsible for that MTV generation.
Yeah, I would say Billy Idol. And also, he's actually rock.
Yeah, it's like rock, punk. But again, I don't care. Genre means nothing to me. Wu-Tang Clan, I look at that and I could see how... they belong in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is not genre.
This is where 100% no.
It's not genre based.
No, you don't see them.
It's not
induct them into the Country Music
Anybody
Hall of Fame
who says
instead.
It's genre based has no idea what they're talking about when they're talking about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
It should be genre based.
It's not.
Then make it the Popular Music Hall of
Fame. That's not it. Rock and roll is a feeling.
No.
It's a movement.
I disagree.
It's not a genre. It's more than a genre here.
It's a genre.
It's not.
You don't have Madonna going into the Country Music Hall of Fame.
That's not the same thing. The Country Music
this
Hall
is
of Fame
rock.
Is country
this is
music.
Rock music.
No, it's not.
I disagree.
No,
100%.
It's not.
It's Blair Hall of Fame inducting everybody popular.
It's not.
100%.
All these people are more than just rock and roll.
Then call it music.
That's not what it is.
It should be music.
They
mislabeled their own Hall of Fame. They mislabeled their own Hall of Fame.
Well, WWE Superfan.
Rock.
WWE Superfan is getting inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Rick Rubin.
Long Island native.
He was part of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Maybe he'll get inducted to the WWE Hall of Fame one day.
Yeah.
But this is a crazy, crazy class. Queen Latifah, MC Light. Very, very New York, New Jersey-based class that is taking place in California. I thought with everyone here that was getting inducted, I thought maybe it was going to be taking place at Barclays again, but nope.
Mm-hmm.
But that is the Markout Moments of the Week. Those are, I should say. You could check us out. It's also episode, 793. You could check us out on Twitter at Markin'Out, at BTTG161 on all platforms. Chris SweetDog, Sims2085, David PTTPT on all platforms. Facebook.com/Markin'Out. YouTube and Instagram, Markin'Out11. ProWrestlingTees.com/Markin'Out. At Markin'Out on TikTok. You could rate, review, subscribe. Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify Podcasts, YouTube, Markin'Out.com. And we wish you the
best
of luck in your future endeavors. Have a fantastic week.
And happy birthday, Chris!
Woo!